We're definitely feeling this first of two rounds of freezing cold weather when the next bitterly cold blast moves in and how low temperatures will tumble.
And thousands of people without power in Durham on one of the coldest nights of the season. Hear from people trying to stay warm as they wait hours for the power to return.
Then a woman and her great-grandchild hit and killed after leaving a memorial for another family member. What police are revealing about the tragedy.
So right now it's 7 o'clock, already well below freezing in some parts of our area. Some places seeing temperatures in the 20s. Brutal cold, of course, comes as thousands of people are without power in Durham. Thank you for joining us tonight at 7. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. We are talking about more than 8,000 people in the dark right now, and that number is actually down from where it started.
So Duke Energy said that it's because of an equipment issue. This is after crews did maintenance on a substation, and the fix might take until midnight. WRL's Willie Danley is live in Durham for us tonight, and this is affecting a lot of things. They even have some stoplights out in that area. It's pitch black behind you as we speak, Willie.
Yes, it is. There are several communities here in Durham that have had their power restored, so those stoplights are back up and running. But there are other neighborhoods like this one that I'm standing in that the power is still out. All of these people in this community have had their power off for hours. There's actually only one house up the street up here. I spoke to that homeowner, and he's running off of a generator. Take a look at this video that we captured here in Durham, and you can see how those outages are impacting streets and traffic across the area. As of now, there are 8,400 customers without power here in Durham. And as you said, that number is down from 11,000 that were without power initially. According to Duke Energy, this is due to an equipment issue that they had while they were doing maintenance at a substation. The power outages here in Durham are impacting families. One woman reached out to WRL saying that her 80-year-old mother needs her power back on because she relies on the heat. WRL spoke to Durham Mayor Leonardo Williams about the maintenance work that Duke Energy is doing and the outage that it's caused.
I know things happen and they were probably working to make the grid or whatever the issue, the maintenance, whatever happened better for harsh weather. But this is, we couldn't experience this at a worse timing.
I'm still speaking to people here in Durham about how they're bracing through this cold weather and those power outages. According to Duke Energy, they're expecting to get the power back up and running by midnight tonight. We're going to keep an eye on that and keep you updated with the latest information as it comes. Back to you.
Yeah, let's hope they find a way to move that timeline up. Willie, thank you.
Sure, it makes you appreciate seeing the lights on here in downtown Raleigh. We are tracking the next Arctic front, bringing more dangerously low temperatures and the chance for precipitation. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with details on this next system, Kat.
It's going to be even colder. We had 18 this morning. We expect to get down to 17 Sunday morning with wind chills in the teens. But outside right now, it's 32 in Durham with a wind chill of 26. So you can see why it's such a concern out there for people who don't have power and heat right now. 27 with a wind chill of 27, so the wind's dying down a bit in Roxborough. 32 in Fayetteville right now, and that's where the wind chill is. The good news is not quite as windy for us tonight. The bad news is we've got the even colder air coming in for the weekend. This secondary push of Arctic air will lead to even colder mornings and afternoons for the weekend. We're at 22 for the low tonight, slightly milder tomorrow night into Friday morning, a low of 36 above freezing, but that's going to come with the opportunity for some rain. The key here, we've bumped up the low, so really not looking at any significant threat of anything wintry out there. As we get to the weekend, lows in the upper teens to lower 20s again. I'm tracking this Arctic front and the precipitation it could bring to North Carolina coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WRL Live Center right now with an update from the Raleigh Police Department on a homicide investigation that happened 10 days ago. And this new information just released, they have charged a juvenile with murder. On your screen, this is the video from the scene when this happened back on January 7th, right off of Cumberland Creek Road. They've arrested and charged this juvenile, of course, because of the age, they haven't released the identity of that child. Investigators also are still trying to figure out the motive behind this shooting that happened in the 3500 block of Cumberland Creek Road. We'll keep you up to date as new information comes in, likely not a whole lot since the age of that suspect in this case. Live updates in the Live Center and on WRL.com. Back to you.
You said, all right, Mark, thank you. So today marks 1 year since this man, Darrell Williams, was shocked by a taser and killed by Raleigh police after yelling out that he had a heart condition. The Wake County District Attorney decided not to press charges against those officers who were involved in the incident, stating that their actions were not in violation of the law. Tonight, his family and friends are gathering in his honor and continuing their quest for some answers they feel like they have not gotten. WRAL's Aaron Thomas live in Raleigh where the vigil for Darrell Williams, is underway right now.
Yeah, Dan, you had upwards of 40 people, family and friends of Darrell Williams, that gathered here in the parking lot of the Sweepstakes Parlor. Keep in mind, this is the exact location where Darrell Williams was shocked and tased by police. He eventually died from those injuries. It's 1 year later. As you can imagine, the family members, they certainly still have a lot of frustration and strong emotions as they try to navigate this investigation. If we show you video, we have the body cam encounter from that moment of January 17th of 2023. It shows Williams tried running from police. He was shocked three times with the taser, including twice after he could be heard on the video saying he had a heart condition. The encounter started after officers suspected 32-year-old Williams had alcohol and marijuana in the car and asked to search it. Organizers working with the family say his death was unwarranted and unjustifiable.
This situation will be rectified if these officers were held accountable. But not only if these officers were held accountable, but those who are in position of power were made to pay for the death of Darrell Williams. And when I say pay, I mean actually literally pay financially.
And we are back out here live in the exact location where Darrell Williams lost his life 1 year ago today. You can see this vigil actually wrapped up within the past 15 minutes or so. We're going to be following this on our late news. I'm actively working to hear from Raleigh Police Department about the status of the six police officers who were initially put on administrative leave, and also speaking with Williams' mother and how she's navigating this investigation. Dan?
All right. Aaron Thomas, live for us in Raleigh. Thanks, Aaron.
Next tonight, compounding grief for a family in Rocky Mount. Police are investigating a fatal crash that took the life of a woman and her 2-year-old great-grandchild. As WRAL's Shelley Jackson reports, the pair died during a gathering to grieve another family member's recent death.
Very few details have been released about this crash. Rocky Mount police say they are investigating the incident. We've been out here all day trying to learn how this could happen and how the family is coping. The call came just after 4 p.m.
Vehicle accident, 625 Kingston Avenue.
Rocky Mount police say a 56-year-old woman was driving a car in the westbound lane of Kingston Avenue and hit two people. The victims, 60-year-old Barbara Jean Grant and her 2-year-old great-grandchild.
Advised it was one adult and one juvenile struck by a vehicle.
The fatal crash happened outside this home on Kingston Street. The family confirming they had gathered for the memorial of another family member who died earlier this month. The child ran into the street and a family member went after them. We talked with members of the family who did not want to do interviews.
This is such a tragedy. We can only imagine what the family and loved ones of those victims are experiencing during this difficult time.
Now, Rocky Mount police say there are no witnesses to the fatal crash. So if you have any information, they ask that you please come forward. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Rocky Mount.
Too much pain for one family. Police in Fayetteville have identified the suspect in a deadly hit and run that happened last Thursday on Bragg Boulevard near Fort Bragg Road around midnight. Police believe Sierra Holiday was driving a vehicle that hit and killed a man. Holiday is facing several charges, including failing to decrease speed to avoid a collision and hit and run. She is out on a $20,000 bond.
Frustrating day for folks in Durham. Parents there are dealing with some transportation headaches after dozens of bus drivers and mechanics didn't show up for work. For many, the late start made it even worse because of the weather. In a message to parents, the school system said limited transportation would be available. This comes after many parents had to drop their children off at school. The issue is connected to the ongoing pay dispute for classified DPS employees. Both the superintendent and the school board chair apologized for all of this today.
And our classified employees are the folks that make sure that our buildings run, our children get to school, that the buses are fixed, that they are served lunch, that our administrative assistants make sure folks get where they need to be when they need to be there. You all are the heartbeat of our schools, and we're so sorry for this incident.
Nearly 50 bus drivers didn't come to work today. Several mechanics also did not show up, which is a major issue in this cold weather. The superintendent says that they continue to work on the issues, and they are hopeful the employees will return tomorrow.
President Biden will be in the Triangle tomorrow. It's his seventh trip to our state as president. He's expected to make his case on how so-called Bidenomics and his Investing in America agenda will fix infrastructure concerns. WREL's Chris Lovingood joins us in the studio. Chris, there are other items on the president's list tomorrow.
Quite a few things, Ashley. That includes lowering costs, supporting a boom among small businesses, and creating jobs that pay well. WREL has learned he will speak at Abbotts Creek Community Center in Raleigh. Now, of course, the president's visit comes as the 2024 campaign takes shape. And North Carolina, which Biden lost by less than 75,000 votes in 2020, could play a big role in this year's vote.
Well, I think it's very obvious, not just with his visit, but with the vice president's visit recently, that certainly the Biden-Harris campaign team recognizes the opportunity that may be present here in North Carolina. Remember, he only lost to Donald Trump by a point and a half in the state 4 years ago. And I think if there is a ground game operation in place and ready to target North Carolina, it can certainly be a swing battleground state, as we have seen in the past.
That was political expert Michael Bitzer with Catawba College. During his visit, Biden will seek to highlight his economic achievements and investments in the country and North Carolina. It's one area that will be at the heart of the campaign, with voters' views on the economy mixed. Solid job growth and stock market highs offset by concerns over inflation and higher prices. Republicans are expected to hit Biden hard on inflation. Biden can use visits like these to push back.
Meet people where they are and say, hey, we know that the grocery, a lot of grocery items are still higher than you like, but we're trying to make progress. We have made progress. We're trying to get us to go in the right direction. I think that would go a long way.
The North Carolina primary election is Super Tuesday, March 5th. WREL's Matt Tallhelm and Laura Leslie will have coverage of tomorrow's event on our news starting at noon.
All right, Chris, thank you.
There is a group of theater students from Raleigh celebrating a big win on a national stage. We'll talk about the performance that shot them to first place in a big competition in Atlanta coming up.
Plus, your tax bill could be going down or up, or maybe staying the same. A look at what this could mean for housing affordability.
Homeowners in Wake County are on the lookout right now for that little letter in the mailbox to tell them the new tax value of their homes. The county mailed out those notices just today. The average residential property increased by 53% since the last evaluation, which was 4 years ago. Your tax bill will be based on these new values. It comes at a time when mortgage rates remain higher than a year ago, and insurance companies want to raise homeowners' insurance rates. All of that affects housing affordability in Wake County.
Naturally, that may be something that somebody goes, wow, this is just another expense. I probably shouldn't buy a house. But if your alternative is renting, right, then guess what's going to happen to those rental properties? Those taxes, those insurance are probably also going to go up, which means your rent's going to go up.
Kind of a lose-lose situation there. The county commissioners will set the tax rate in June formally. All seven commissioners told us that they do support revenue-neutral tax rate, at least as a starting point for budget talks.
This past weekend, a Raleigh-area junior theater group took first place among 124 theater groups competing in Atlanta, Georgia. The Raleigh-area Children's Theater, with participants ages 9 to 18, displayed their talents at the Junior Theater Festival. WREL's Deborah Morgan shows us how their hard work paid off.
This was the joyous moment when the Raleigh Area Children's Theater learned they won first place.
Everyone was hugging each other and screaming and laughing, and everyone was just really excited.
And it is sheer jubilation. Like,
director Amanda Blair Thompson grew up performing in musicals and drama productions and later opened her own studio. It attracted students from across the Raleigh area with dreams of performing on stage.
They are theater loving kids, else I wouldn't want them to go, because if you don't love rehearsal, you're not going to love this process.
It adds up to about 40 hours of rehearsals. This video in Atlanta shows them competing for the favor of a panel of judges. The Junior Theater Festival involves an intense 15-minute performance, this one being Beauty and the Beast.
I definitely-
rehearsal after rehearsal, like you're crunching everything in. And like Miss Blair said, you get every second of it because you want it to be perfected.
The role of the Beast involves six actors moving as one. Win or lose, 16-year-old Kara Troy keeps a positive attitude.
This is what I love to do, and it's what I really want to do, so I try to focus a lot of energy in on this.
The result for these young performers was the top award.
We were absolutely overjoyed to be awarded the outstanding performance. We would have walked away being extremely proud of ourselves even without that, because we all came together and we told a beautiful story.
Deborah Morgan, WRL News.
Told a beautiful story in such a creative way. Congratulations to the Raleigh Area Children's Theater Group.
I love that video when they won.
I know.
How exciting.
So genuinely excited. They're actually two-time winners at this festival in Atlanta. Their first outstanding performance was just last year.
Congratulations. Way to go. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. The weather putting on a bit of a performance for us as we are really dipping to the coldest we've been in some time.
Yes, especially in Franklinton, Dan. This is a live look from Mason and Maine, and you can't see it from this camera, but I've been in contact with some folks there, and they're actually making their own snow in Franklinton outside the city hall there. So something cool to see. The hope is that they'd have enough for maybe a little sledding hill by the time we get to the weekend. So that'll be fun to watch, and they'll be sending us some updated pictures as they make snow, since, you know, Mother Nature isn't going to give that to us naturally. The lows this weekend are going to get even colder than it was last night. Last night, we had 18 for the official low at RDU Airport. We've got 20 Saturday morning, 19 Durham, 17 in Roxboro. But Sunday morning, it's going to be even colder, down to 17 in Raleigh, 16 in Durham and Rocky Mount, 15 for Southern Pines and South Hill, just 13 in Roxboro. Both Saturday and Sunday mornings have the potential for lows to be, you know, in the teens, but the wind chills perhaps in the single digits. So that's something we'll be watching, especially on Sunday morning. We do have a system on the way for Friday first, though, so we're going to keep an eye on Friday's forecast. There is a chance for a little bit of rain early in the day. Otherwise, the rest of our weekend is dry and cold. 36 Saturday, just 40 for the high on Sunday. If you were hoping for some natural snow, just not going to get it for us. The snowfall potential for that system that arrives Thursday night into Friday, it is, you know, showing some potential for more than an inch in the mountains. Not here locally, though. High pressure is going to be moving offshore, and as high pressure moves offshore, we're going to see our cold air source kind of shift. It's got a clockwise flow around it. So today we had a west northwest wind, but we're going to see a warming southwest wind return as we head into the day tomorrow. And with that, we've got some warmer air and less hope that we would be at 32 by the time the rain arrives for us. So during the day tomorrow, we are going to be dry throughout the day. We'll see an increase in cloud cover late in the afternoon and into the evening hours. 50, the forecast high. And then overnight, we could see the rain move in. This is 3 a.m. Some spotty showers possible. The low 36 here in the Triangle, so we don't think we'll get down to freezing. And it's looking even less likely now that our northern counties would. However, we could still see a brief window for some freezing rain or sleet pellets to mix in. We're not expecting any impacts. That would be early Friday morning, and the precipitation is so light to begin with. The rain's out of here by about 10-11 a.m. on Friday, and then the remainder of the day looks dry but cooler as the Arctic air continues to push in. 36 is as warm as we get Saturday. Windy conditions as well, so it may feel colder than that. Just 40 on Sunday, but a warming trend on the way for next week. We've got 60s in the forecast Wednesday. We'll probably be in the 60s on Thursday and Friday of next week as well.
I think a lot of people are looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Kat.
A selfless act from a homeless man has captured the hearts of this community. We'll tell you what you can do to help these puppies.
Welcome back to the WRL Live Center. Right now at 7:24, Durham Public School parents, heads up. There is a DPS alert just sent out about 8 or 9 minutes ago about the possibility of bus driver shortages for tomorrow. So plan accordingly. Here's the update. Due to an ongoing bus driver shortage, we are facing challenges in providing transportation for our students tomorrow. In light of this situation, we kindly request your support in transporting your children to and from school for the day. The issue of salary continues to be a major problem in addition to sick calls coming into the district. Today, there were callouts. About 50 bus drivers didn't show up, causing major issues. So, again, if you live in Durham and you have a child that goes to Durham Public Schools, they might not have a bus tomorrow. Back to you.
A lot of parents were probably anticipating that email.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But 2 days in a row, that's going to have an impact. All right, Mark, thanks. Hey, we got to show you these beautiful, sweet puppies. We've been telling you about this story ever since we found pictures of these puppies on social media.
This is amazing. So the puppies, two girls, three boys, they were left at a no-kill shelter by a man who says that he was homeless and that he wanted the dogs to have a good life. We're told that anonymous man left a note, the one you see here, and said he used to feed the puppy's mother, but she was hit and killed by a car. So he took the pups to a Fayetteville Animal Protection Society on Bragg Boulevard, and he left them with that note that begged the shelter to care for them.
He was just really apologetic, like, please don't hate me. He just said basically that he wanted these puppies to have the life that he and their mom never got.
So the search now continues on social media for this man who, again, wanted to remain anonymous, but people want to help him out in some way to see if they can return his generosity and his big heart and do so toward him. We have the contact information for the shelter for you on the story on WRAL.com. Aww. A 74-year high school basketball record is broken.
This is so awesome. We're talking about the most points scored in a game. The old record was set back in 1950. That was 67 points. Well, last night, Paul McNeil Jr. scored 71 points. The Richmond High School senior shot lights out against Lee County School. His team won by over 60 points. College coaches took note of McNeil's talent well before he broke the record. He's set to join NC State next season. We will keep an eye on him for sure.
He had a good game. That's pretty good. No, he had a hot hand.
Yeah. Way to go. Good today.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us tonight here on WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.